Merry Christmas, Detroit.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. No more Secret Santa from the White House. This morning, it finally announced a bailout package for the automakers. $17.4 billion in loans to GM and Chrysler. They can have the money right now, and it's coming from the fund designed for financial companies, the $700 billion. Here's President Bush a short time ago.
By giving the auto companies a chance to restructure, we will shield the American people from a harsh economic blow at a vulnerable time.
We're joined now by Marketplace's Alisa Roth in New York. She's been following this story all along. Alisa, what are the strings attached?
The first thing is that the car makers are to ask for concessions from everybody. So we're talking about debt holders, we're talking about suppliers, we're talking about workers. It sounds like the car makers are going to have to reduce wages and benefits so that they match up with the foreign car makers, the Toyotas and Hondas and so on, who are working here in North America. The other thing is that the executives are going to have to give up perks, including those infamous corporate jets that they flew to Washington before Thanksgiving.
And how long do the car makers have to get their act together?
They have until the end of March, so 3 months basically, to come up with viable plans to become profitable and sustainable companies. That doesn't mean that they have to have those plans in place. They just have to have plans that make sense for how they're going to get there, which brings us to what happens if they can't come up with reasonable plans. In that case, they have to give the money back and they're going to have to declare bankruptcy. That's the only other option.
Okay. Alisa Roth in New York. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Further proof of fallout in the car business. This morning, CarMax said it swung to a $22 million loss last quarter. And Toyota could announce on Monday major losses for the first time in 70 years. I wouldn't say Wall Street is celebrating the bailout, more like relieved. The Dow is up 51 points so far, about 0.5%, to 86.56. The NASDAQ has climbed 18. That's more than 1%, though. And the S&P 500 is up 5. In Asia today, the markets closed lower, 1 to 2%. European shares are down 1 to 2% so far. Doesn't it seem like something's missing this holiday season? Besides cash in our stockings and stocks, where is the hot toy everybody has to have? Here's Rico Galliano.
The holiday hit of 2006? The giggling TMX Elmo doll, sales of which made the toy industry shout,
"Again, again!"
But an Elmo-sized hit is actually rare, says industry analyst Robert Gottlieb.
It's not as bad as Haley's Comet, but it's close.
And in a recession year like this one, Gottlieb says, it's pretty apparent why the hit toy Comet hasn't come around.
When you're really thinking about how to spend your money, you're really far less vulnerable to fads and excitement.
Bad news for the industry, Gottlieb says, since in his experience, one hit toy can drive up sales for everyone. On the other hand, affordable, long-lasting classics like Play-Doh are doing well this year. And according to Renee Rice of the Toy Industry Association, sales are still strong compared to, almost any other industry.
Even in a poor economy, even in past recessions, toys have always been a category that have held their own.
And if parents have to put up with a little less of this, well, is that really so bad? I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Another stocking stuffer. The price of oil fell to $34 a barrel this morning. Last time it was that low, 5 years ago. And then in late 2003, gas prices were about $1.30. OPEC did cut production this week, but as one analyst put it, the market threw a shoe at OPEC. You're listening to The Morning Report for Friday, December 19th on Marketplace.org. Until the economy crashed, climate change was the topic du jour, and ethanol was the lightning rod. The EPA was supposed to have rules by today on how much biofuel the U.S. should produce, but there isn't even a draft proposal. Sarah Gardner at our sustainability desk explains what happened.
Corn ethanol's already taken heat for higher food prices. Now scientists are questioning whether it actually produces more greenhouse gas emissions than regular gasoline. That's if you take into account indirect impacts like rainforests being converted to cropland. Jonathan Lewis at the Clean Air Task Force says that's because cutting down rainforests releases carbon dioxide.
That initial upfront release of soil and plant carbon swamps whatever benefits we get over the long term from using biofuels.
The EPA's initial calculations of biofuels' climate impacts alarmed industry. Biofuel producers have lobbied the administration hard to omit those calculations, calling the science immature. The new rules are currently stuck in the White House Office of Management and Budget and will likely end up yet another headache for the Obama administration. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
The investment bank Credit Suisse has a new idea for compensating employees that I think you might like to hear. Just in time for Christmas, it's the toxic bonus. From London, Stephen Beard explains.
Credit Suisse bankers will have their bonuses linked to some of the risky assets they bought for the bank. We're talking mortgage-backed securities and leveraged loans, assets which they cannot now put a price on, let alone sell. Under the new bonus package, payouts will depend on whether these assets ever generate a profit. Such products help trigger the credit crunch, and they led to Credit Suisse alone writing off billions of dollars. Justin Urquhart-Stewart of Seven Investments says the toxic bonus is a brilliant idea.
On the basis that people should be responsible for what they're selling. And this is almost a financial version of the old medieval punishment of putting people in the stocks and throwing old fruit and vegetables at them.
Credit Suisse bankers are not fans of the plan, but they're in no position to complain. The bank is cutting more than 5,000 jobs in the new year. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Given the Bernard Madoff scandal this week, the word Ponzi has been used over and over again. Did you know that Ponzi was a real person? And he's the focus of today's Marketplace Decoder. Here's Mitchell Hartman with our Ponzi Primer.
We'll get to Mr. Ponzi in a second, but first, the Ponzi scheme. It's a bit like alchemy. The financial wizard offers to take your gold, your money, and turn it into more money. He claims to do this by secret and esoteric methods, currency arbitrage, it might be called, or high-yield hedges. And he promises to work his magic at a startling rate, a guaranteed return of perhaps 20% each month, like clockwork.
If it's too good to be true, you're right, it is.
Rich Dipple teaches accounting at Webster University in St. Louis.
When you're investing, there's ups and downs, but somebody who just seems like is a genius, again and again and again, it's like, hey, is there a problem here?
There is a problem. In a Ponzi scheme, few, if any, assets are actually bought with your money. And there's no real return on investment, even though the operator may send you fictitious financial statements on fancy stationery, showing your investment account growing quarter after quarter.
Instead of investing your money, he or she takes it and then solicits more customers and then basically takes the new money coming in and pays the existing investors.
A Ponzi scheme needs ever more investors to pay off the earlier participants and keep things afloat. Eventually, there's not enough new money coming in to pay back what was initially invested or to keep delivering the huge returns that have been promised. And what happens then?
Eventually it implodes or they take off to South American country or something.
Or, like Bernie Madoff, end up wearing an ankle bracelet and confined to his $7 million Manhattan apartment pending trial. And why did anyone fall for this latest Ponzi scheme? Well, greed for one thing. The returns were apparently steady and reliable, even if conjured up out of thin air. And the original schemer? Charles Ponzi was an Italian immigrant who, in the early 1920s, offered astronomical returns through a strategy he dubbed international postage arbitrage. His entire portfolio turned out to be $30 worth of postal coupons. Ponzi went to prison. The millions that had been invested disappeared into his magic cauldron of financial fraud. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
We have other decoders and explainers about the economy at our website, marketplace.org. Every December, a Danish bank makes outrageous predictions for the coming year. It's supposed to be thought-provoking, not necessarily accurate. But last year, the bank said the S&P 500 would fall 25%, and it's down 40. They said oil would go to $175 a barrel, and it hit $147. They also said Ron Paul would be elected president, but the list for 2009 is out. And we're joined by Saxo Bank's chief economist, David Carsbol, in Copenhagen. David, let's start with your prediction. This time, the S&P 500 will fall another 40% in 2009. That's pretty steep.
Well, we believe that the earnings will drop massively from here. The unemployment is increasing rapidly. A lot of companies are beginning to fail. They simply have too much debt. The debt is simply too big of a problem. I mean, now everybody has to focus on servicing the debt, paying it off, and that means that there will be basically no consumption going on.
Now, one of the predictions that surprised me a bit was what you said about China, that its growth will go to 0%. It's, what, 8, 10% now?
Yeah. I don't think the Chinese authorities will, at any point will come out and say GDP growth was 0%. They will make up figures. There's no doubt about that. But at least we will probably see indicators telling us that growth was de facto 0%. The whole miracle of the Chinese economy was really based on the U.S. Consumers going into debt, buying cheap stuff from China.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have any plan B.
All right, let's do one more. You really think that Italy could drop the euro in 2009?
It could happen. Italy has a lousy economy. At the same time, Berlusconi has been saying that he's not too fond of it. He is threatening to leave the euro. He's been doing that before. I don't think chances are very high. I'm just saying that we need to think about what would actually happen to the euro. It will be sure to have a major impact on the euro.
So, David, do you have any good prediction for next year?
Unfortunately, we were also relatively right last year. We were really bearish on the economy. But I think on the positive side, I think it cannot get much worse than what we're seeing here. In 2009 will be some sort of turning point. Mm-hmm. Not that we're tremendously bullish after that. If we actually see 500 and S&P 500, I think that will be a good buying opportunity. Not that we think that we'll see 1,000 a year afterwards, but I think stock markets will only gradually begin to recover after that.
David Carsbol in Copenhagen from Saxo Bank. Share your opinions with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.